You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you're a regular viewer or a regular listener, you may notice something a little bit different about this episode. If you're watching, you'll see that the environment is not a Zoom call, but a live call from an interesting environment. We'll get into where we are in just a moment. And if you're listening, you probably notice the sound is a bit different than normal. So today, we're going to be talking about PR, and whether that is public relations, press relations, press releases, we'll find out in just a moment. But to help me in that conversation is a brilliant and enthusiastic practitioner of the PR craft, and that's James Fu Torres, who goes by Fu. So Fu, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about having this conversation. I mean, the environment here, doing this first in-person podcast, as both as a, you know, I did it as a host earlier, and now I did it as a guest, and I'm very excited to get into it.
Yeah, totally. So just to explain what you're referring to, we're doing back-to-back podcasts. I was just a guest on yours, and now we are recording the More Perfect Marketing podcast. And where are we?
So we are here at Blizzard. It's a winery that's actually pretty close to my house. So I'm just like 8 to 9 minutes away from here. This is the wine country here, side of Hillsboro. And
that's Oregon for those who don't know where Hillsboro is. And yeah. We both happen to live right here in the region.
Right. And that, we connected online. And then we're like, wait, we're like local to each other. And then we planned this literally on the first call that we had together. And we got lucky now that we got a nice weather, you know, here that rains a lot, right? Like that's the bad side of the Oregon, this Oregon region. But, you know, we have a sunny day, we got good wine, got good people. So I'm excited to get into it.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about PR. And, you know, I did throw this out there because I mentioned, oh, I have a PR expert who's going to be joining me on today's podcast. And I had two different people assume that they knew exactly what PR meant, but they came up with two different answers. And I listed three just a moment ago. So what is PR?
Wow, what a big question. Because PR is public relations, right? And especially now in this digital age, PR has transformed a lot because now you can reach so much people just from your phone in an app. Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, that is technically public relations, but it's also marketing, but it's also social media marketing, right? It's also, you know, there's all these different things. But then the way that I describe PR is just everything that is image related, you know, everything that is public facing. Hmm. And that could be, you know, social media. That could be being on any platform, really, right? Like just podcasts, radio, TV, publications, print, online, you name it. So that is how I describe it. That's what I tell people that with my clients, I even tell them about like the way that they dress and the way that they present themselves everywhere, not just in the media, right? Because now social media, right? Like there's so many mediums now, right? Like, and that's how I see social media, that's how I see everything. It's just a way to broadcast. It's just different channels with different people, that way different formats, but that's how I see it, public relations. So for me, it's just everything that is public facing, and that can mean a lot of things.
I think if we think back in history to things like, you know, where did this business that you're in, this profession that you're in, where did it originally start? And I think it probably started with newspapers and periodicals and print, even before there was radio, before there was television. There was a desire for businesses or personalities, right, performers, to get an audience to learn about them or get the public to find out about them. And whenever there's that opportunity to create a new business, we were talking in the last podcast about category and category creation. Well, at some point, right, it wasn't the the Walter Winchell columnist type. It wasn't the publisher or editor of the publication who was soliciting, you know, the business owner for their story. But there was a middle person, sort of an agent, who got into that scenario to help make the connection between the media and the personality. And obviously, you know, times have changed. It's not, we're in a very different era with, as you point out, all of this different, this giant landscape of media. Yeah. And I think there's one other piece to this, and I want you to speak to this for a moment, because there is the traditional third-party media where there are publishers and platforms, but today we also have owned media of the individual and the business. And so I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that landscape and how you differentiate one from the other, or maybe you don't.
Definitely, there's a difference. Like, there is the overarching of everything, which I just, they are just platforms for me, right? Like, just platforms that they have an audience, they have an authority, and that's like the generalization of it. But then there's nothing more powerful than own media, because you own it, right? Like, that part of having your own podcast, like your own group, right? Your own even platform, right? Like, you can make your own app nowadays, mm-hmm. right? And then take people out of all the distractions and just have your own app. That's something that's been booming a lot, especially I've seen it like in the fitness industry. It's something like, oh, there's so many people out there, like YouTube or something, like, then you take into your own app, right? Mm-hmm. So that having your own media, and then, you know, me, for example, you know, I have my own podcast, right? So for me to be able to have that own media that I can do this and then take that transcripts from the conversations and then being able to turn it into articles that I can do, I can leverage my own website or to have a blog or my own or my LinkedIn to have a blog or an article there. Or then I'm also a contributor for other magazines and that I can throw it there. So there's so many, there's like a gray area of like, you know, there is the media that you have, there's the national media and also the platforms that you can leverage from other people. There is the own media, but then there's the in between where you're a contributor. So like, it's my column, but then it's somebody else's platform still, right? Yep. Same with like LinkedIn or something. Like, you put an article there, it's my column, my account, but then also I'm using LinkedIn, right? So there is all this spectrum. Like, for me, I've been saying everything is a spectrum. If you think about it, just think about it. Everything is a spectrum, you know? And that's how I see this. It's just a spectrum of different media things. And that's why I call myself a PR strategist, mm-hmm. because it's all about the strategy, like all these mediums that you can use, all these platforms and how to leverage them. But then, you know, how to do it properly, given your goals is what I specialize on, which is the PR strategy.
Okay, we're going to get to like who is PR appropriate for and who is it not. And by the way, hint, there's very few businesses where it's not appropriate. But I want to get your take on, like, I'm pretty sure based on what you just said that I know where you're going to go with this. But there's this sort of old school, you got to get some third party out there to validate your authority. So you need, you've mentioned Forbes, for example, you need to be, and by the way, you can buy your way into a publication like Forbes, but you need to have somebody who already has the name, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, to write about you, to make you legitimate. But there's a lot of very famous people who are famous because they're on a reality TV show, or they created their own YouTube channel, or they have their own podcast, right? Joe Rogan, who, he was an actor, he was a stand-up comedian back, you know, in the 1990s, but why is he really famous? Because he has a freaking podcast, right? So I'm curious, is it important to be on other people's or other platforms' media, or can you create your own stuff? I mean, self-published books, another another channel, right? Yeah. I wonder if you can sort of break that down and talk about what's absolutely necessary and what's not anymore, because I think the way that I see it, there's so much crossover that it may not matter, but I'd love to get your take.
So there's not like a right or wrong answer to this, first of all, right? It's all about what are your goals and also like what's your style? Because I get a lot of people that they want to get featured in the media to check off a box, like personal goals. Mm-hmm. They want to, and then obviously the exposure and everything, great. But they could get exposure through podcasts, and they're doing it, right? Like, it's not like they're not doing them, but they want to be in Fox Business because they want to be there. They grew up looking at it, and they want to be there. And then obviously they already have a strategic plan, and obviously, you know, I give them strategic plans too to be able to leverage that. So there's so many ways to leverage the media. And like, some people rather be on a podcast with Joe Rogan than being in Fox, for example, right? But some other people rather be in Fox. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of preference. And what do you resonate with? What do you want to associate your brand with, right? So if you want your customers, or maybe you already have done your market research and your customers already, you already know that they follow a specific media. Like they go to get their news in this specific magazine. Especially like trade magazines, for example, right? So then having a strategy that gets you there, you know it will resonate, and then that will get you more business. Because the way that I like to call the PR hits, or, you know, like when you get featured in the media, mm-hmm. I like calling that trust indicators and green flags, right? Like, because when people Google you and they see even something as simple as a press release in Yahoo. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people don't even know what a really press release means, and they see you associated with Yahoo and probably don't even read the whole thing, and then they just associated with Yahoo, they automatically will give you the chance to talk to you.
So when you say trust indicator, you're talking about the implied endorsement of a known brand, a third party.
Exactly.
And you can't do that if it's your own YouTube channel.
Because you can't, like, you can talk about yourself all you want, but people can say like, oh, he could just be saying that. But then when there's other people talking about you, which being on a publication and like Forbes, a contributor that's talking about you, it's not just a person talking about you, like, you know, having a testimonial, like, oh, I don't even know that person. For all I know, that could be his cousin or whatever, right? Like, so when you see like oh, this person, from this column in Forbes, and now that I can click and then even check their social media and stuff, why they're associated, and this person is endorsing, basically, because they're willing to share in their column. So that is, it gives that sense of trust. Because when I go follow people, when I go connect with people in general, I always look like, what's the mutual friends that we have? What's their digital presence? Like, what's out there? Let me see how their social media looks. Mm-hmm. Like, I do, and most people do, like, don't you, like, you know, as the audience, you go, oh, I'm gonna buy this $30 thing in Amazon, and then you start looking for all the reviews, right? So it's the equivalent of that, right? You can have Google reviews, and that's great. You know, those are green flags too, right? They're trust indicators. Mm-hmm. You can have testimonials, you can have case studies. That authority from leveraging from other platforms that I already know, like, and trust, like, especially those old things that you've been seeing for years, all your life, that's just an automatic, just clicks, right? And that doesn't mean that it's just, oh, I'm gonna trust just blindly this person. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it gets you to the door, just gets you that chance. And one thing that I like to say is, like, you could be the best at your job. You can be the best. But if people don't even give you the chance to prove that you're the best, then it's just wasted potential. Mm. So that's why I give people those trust indicators, those green flags. So when people go and Google them and they start researching them, they see those logos. They can click on the link and they can read about the story, the why, and then they start associating that, and then they're open up and, you know, usually turns on to business. And another thing is, the most powerful thing that I've seen about PR, I guess, is just two things. First, referrals. Every time, because if you have a lot of marketers that you know, but then you see this one in Forbes and stuff, and you don't even know anything about marketing, but you see, you know Forbes, you know Fox, you know this MSNBC, whatever the case may be, you automatically, well, if they, for me, they're both my friends, they're both the same, one is in Forbes, one isn't, then I'm kind of, that's gonna be the differentiator. The other thing is I've even doubled the income of an agency owner before in just on 1 week because he is a marketer, right? Mm-hmm. So he has, he knows how to get off a pipeline full of people. There was a lot of people that were on the fence. I got him on Yahoo. He showed that. Obviously, he's a marketer, so he knows how to market that. So he blasted out everywhere, and he got clients right off the bat because there was a lot of people on the fence. So those people in the fence is a great way to, you know, prove that you are the right person when they see you associated with this.
Okay, so I was just about to ask you about this topic you just brought up, which is where does PR fit with the mix of other activities that you can engage with in marketing? And this was a really good example because you're saying leverage, like create the PR or have someone create the PR around you, right? And there's lots of ways to, I want to use the word manipulate, but that's not necessarily a negative word, right? Manipulate the process of PR being created and then leverage it with other activities. Can you talk a little bit more about how other marketing activities can amplify the results of a PR campaign?
Definitely. So one thing that I want to be very clear, just press moments will not do anything for you. Just being featured in one place will do very little. Maybe you get lucky and the right person got interested and they really want to go out of their way to find you and do things. But it's a norm that just by being featured in any magazine or even TV, and even national TV, often it's not just like the one thing you do or just press moments. So that's why I realized this as I started getting hits for my clients and we were not getting the results that we were expecting. So then from my experience, I've shifted now to empower ideas into movements, which is now the tagline of my business.
Okay.
Because I realized, like, if you want to be the top authority, you want to be the number one authority in your niche or just in your space in general, and you want to be nationally recognized or even internationally recognized, you have to have your own movement. You can't just rely on just being this godlike figure that is like the best. You need to stand for something that is bigger than any individual. And that's the approach that we've been taking now with our clients. So the three pillars of starting a movement, the way that I see it and the way that I apply for my clients is the three pillars are branding, content, and publicity strategies. And the branding is where you have not the perfect name or the perfect logo, but you have something that people will remember, and you attach a story to it that people can relate to. And then in the content, that's where you teach people, right? You give everything away, you sell implementation, right? You become also digitally omnipresent or even physically, right? Like there's print. And that is the goal of the content, to educate, to tell your why, and to be everywhere, right? You want to be omnipresent if possible, right? Like just everywhere, especially digitally nowadays, it's very possible. You can be in every medium, right? Every platform. So then in the last thing is the publicity strategies, where in the publicity strategies is where you leverage OPP, which is other people's platforms. That's how I like to call it. And that's where you get you siphon almost like their audiences. You also leverage their authority and often great quality content, right? So when you combine those three, and obviously there's million ways, right? Like there's infinite ways to skin a cat, right? People say, right? There's infinite ways to make money. There's infinite ways to make everything, basically, right? So it's as long as like, you go through those three pillars. Now, you know, how do you do the branding? How do you do the content? How do you do the PR? There's many ways to do it, but those are the three pillars that I see to start a movement, and that's how you can become the number one authority in your field.
Here's the thing. I said a couple minutes ago, who is this appropriate for and who should take advantage of it? Just about any type of business. But then the way that you described it, I think for some types of businesses, may feel incredibly intimidating, like, wait, I don't want to start a movement. I don't want to be internationally known. I'm just, you know, I just have a law firm and I practice in a small little town and I just want to make sure that, you know, people know me more than the other three lawyers here in this town. And so the question is, does that attorney have to do what you just described? Do they need to create a community and, you know, international reach? No. So what is the sort of the light version of this?
The main thing that I like to attack, especially for this light version, mm-hmm. is your digital real estate, you know, and obviously your physical, your real estate, period, digital and in person.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, like having a billboard, having a great messaging, and that's digital. And also, like, if you have an office, for example, for a law firm, and doing things like doing a press release, like, right, you don't have to go all out and like, oh, I want to be in national TV, I want to do all these things. And you can just do those small pieces to make sure that when people Google you, when people hear about you, they hear the right things, right? The people are saying the right things. So, and that's with the branding, with the content, with the publicity strategies. And the way that I take it like to this like movement thing is because I'm just like a big thinker, really big, like I have big goals and I want to do big things. And that's how I pick my clients too. And there's a lot of ways to do PR. The way that I do it doesn't need to be like, oh, there's no right or wrong way, right? Yeah. So it's just the way that I do it. And I like doing big things like that because when I get big clients, I learn so much from them. So that's just my style, right? Like mm-hmm. I want to empower ideas into movements as a mission for me to the way that I see what I'm doing with PR is to amplify the impact of exceptional business leaders by leveraging other people's platforms, right? That is my thing. That's what I do. And the reason that I go, you know, typically my clients are seven-figure plus earners mm-hmm. that they have carved their way into the market. They have sales, the proof of concept, but now they want to be the ultimate authority. They want to be a nationally or even internationally recognized brand. And when you think about tax strategy, boom, you think about David A. Perez, right? Like, well, that's one mm-hmm. of my clients. That's what they want. Not everybody wants that, though, mm-hmm. right? And that's why, like, even though those are my ideal clients, sometimes, you know, I get a referral, I get something, I really want to help because I like helping people. I can help you with a press release and you don't have to be a seven-figure plus earner or anything. You know, I'll do the press release for you. I have all the resources. It doesn't even take me that much time, really, with my team. So, of course, I can help people doing things that are smaller like yeah. that. But I just like being doing big things.
So just like with any industry, the PR world is pretty broad in terms of service providers. And I'm thinking years ago, I was working with a retail shop and they were talking about how do we get promoted, and it happened to be the wine industry, right? How do I get promoted and listed as a place where somebody can pick up the wines that are written about in columns, right? This is a very common thing in a lot of, you know, consumer publications. It's like, here's the product and here's a place where you can buy it. And what happened was this retail shop, through no management or request of their own, got listed as a place to purchase an item, a particular wine in, I don't remember what it was. It was, I think, Food and Wine magazine. And they were like, The phones blew up, they sold out of that wine, and they wanted to recreate that experience. So what did we do? Well, I was working as a marketing consultant with them. I didn't really know the PR space, and we started shopping around to PR agencies. And here's what we were told by the agencies, and I think I need you to sort of flesh this out because this is very different from what you do. One agency after another, we spoke with five or six of them, told us something like, here's our monthly retainer. We will not guarantee any placement, but the only way you can get placement anywhere is if you engage us. And then we would ask questions like, well, how do you get the placement? And they say, well, we have tapped into the reporter market. And when people are looking for somebody to comment on something or a resource, they come to us first. And we then hook them up. Or we're on Twitter and we are constantly following what people are looking for so that we can jump into the middle of the conversation. And that's what you're paying us the thousands of dollars a month to be able to get your name in front of the opportunity should it arise. That's a pretty scary place to be in the PR world.
I know. It is crazy. I mean, I've been working on ways that I can guarantee things, and then when those opportunities come, then that's when I take advantage of them, right? Because so that way it's not just depending on that, right? And that's why we're doing a shift right now of focusing a little bit more on like being a media company. Yeah. Because that way, like for example, like doing this, right? We can promote, let's say like this one, right? And promoting Blizzard, and we have numbers, we have exposure that's just undeniable, right? I can show you the numbers, I can show you the back end, period. You getting the exposure. If I then write this, a piece from the transcript of this, and I pitch it to Forbes and or pitch it to literally any column and it gets picked up, mm-hmm. then that's gravy, right? Like that's happened, but then I cannot guarantee it, right? Because I don't know if they're gonna pick that up or not, right? Unless we go into like the sponsor, but then that's an advertisement, mm-hmm. right? And that's there's a gray area in this space. And that's why, you know, one of the main things that I really wanted to do when I started understanding this industry, it's like, how can I make this industry better? Because I don't like that. Like mm-hmm. what you just said is scary for me, scary for everybody. Like yeah. nobody wants to pay thousands and thousands of dollars and then not have no guarantee of something actually coming out of it. And you know, obviously that's why the PR is a long game, right? Yep. Too, because obviously you can't guarantee something's gonna happen, but if you pitch right for a long period of time, something will happen mm-hmm. as long as what you have to offer actually has value. And that's why I tell my clients too, like you are an asset for the media, not the other way around. After your feature, then obviously that's an asset for you. You can leverage it. So that's why like I love combining the social media side of things, the podcast, the things that I can control, right? Because there's a lot of things that I cannot control. And I want that to be an extra, like, oh, if I got you here and we can establish things like, look, if I'm actually spending all these hours on scouting for you and pitching, then we have to establish something, some kind of deal that makes sense, right? Yeah. So that's the way that I do it. I always look for ways like, you know, doing a press release, doing sponsored things that are guaranteed, and then playing the social media game and the own media side of things that I can guarantee. And then from there, you know, the rest is gravy.
And I think that it's an interesting and perhaps, you know, it's the new version, the new iteration of that old school model that I was describing. But there's a lot of agencies that are still built around that old school model because it's what they've always done and it's what they know. And so the addition of the owned media and the strategic, okay, not only do we have to be strategic about what we're pitching and to whom, and how to position our client, but also we're gonna create something. Now we have a whole new skill set we have to bring into our organization. And so the fact that you've sort of mapped that out and figured out how to balance those things to support the client projects you're working on, I think is both refreshing and probably reasonably uncommon, at least historically in your industry.
Yeah, and that's why since the beginning, I was like, look, I want to make this industry better. Given that it's so normal to not having to guarantee, a lot of people take advantage of that. And there's a lot of scammers in the PR game. I mean, you know, I've been taken advantage of. I know every single PR agency owner that I know has been scammed on some way or another. Because they say like, oh, like, yeah, I'll get you here. Look, I got this connection with this. And you're paying for the connection, right? Like you're paying because that's how the PR world works. I mean, if you're gonna give me a connection that is super valuable for me, like I happily pay for it because yeah. I want that. It's like, there's no different to paying for being in a mastermind to get access to a person that you really want to talk to. It's mm-hmm. just no different than that. So that is the ugly side of PR, yeah. right? Like the fact that it's so common that it's not guaranteed and people take advantage of that. That's just the ugly thing. And together, like we've been getting together between all the agency owners that I know, and we'll be like weaving people out. We call each other out. It's like, hey, this person, no, or this person, yes. So we've been creating that. We're kind of creating like an association, mm-hmm. basically, that we're building between us. The more that you go to the top, the smaller the circle gets.
Yeah.
And I've got access for a lot of people, and that's the thing. So that's the ugly side of things. But then the other thing is like there's some people doing it like that and getting amazing results still. Right. So this is just, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons in that.
We're just about out of time, but I want to make sure that for our viewers and listeners who want to learn more from you, there's a lot of places they can follow you. We'll make sure to include all of the various links to all of your media. But what's the one best place that somebody could connect with you?
The best way to find me is just Google my name, right? James Fu Torres. But if that's too long, easier is James L, as in Lewis, Foo, F-O-O. That's the easier way. You put that in Google, you'll find me. It's also my username on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, everything, you name it.
I like how you snuck all of those extra places in there, despite the fact that I asked you for just one. I hope that you do that for all of your clients when you're getting them media placement as well. James Fu Torres, thank you so much for hanging out with me. This has been a great conversation.
No, this has been great. I mean, I have so much fun, and you know, this whole experience has been great. So thank you.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could take advantage of listening to the conversation you just heard, please share it with them. Until next time, I'm David Barry. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.